Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Are You the Wanderer Wrap-Up Podcast. I am, of course, Brian Cohen, and here with me is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Brian. I'm really excited to be talking to Brianna. I mean, this isn't even, like, we didn't even have thought with who we wanted to interview first. This was clear favoritism, so I'm definitely anxious to get started and talk to her.
Yeah, so now, Brianna, how are you?
What up, Pete? I'm excited to be here, even though I'm not really here, but I'm kind of here.
You're here. You're always here with us in spirit. Whenever we're doing these shows, we're always thinking about what Brianna's thinking.
No, I was just telling Bri the other day. I think it was, like, I don't know, a couple days ago. So whenever I listen to the wrap-up, I feel like I'm at lunch with you guys, and I'm just, like, sipping on a soda, just listening to you guys talk. And it's so unreal because I'm just laughing so hard. My roommate comes out, and he's always like, honestly, you have so many issues. And I'm like, that's why I was on TV, okay?
We're your lunchtime date. I like it.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of things to cover. Obviously, we have plenty of questions, and a lot of your fans ask questions. So we'll get to all those in a bit. But the first thing we just want to start with is mainly just how you started with Are You the One? So did you, like, what was your relationship? Did you watch season one? How did you audition for the show? All that.
Okay, so my roommate and I watched season one. We didn't really get into the show until, like, I want to say the fourth episode. And honestly, and I told Shanley this, I just would rag on Christy and Shanley the whole entire time because I was like, they're so stupid. Why would they stay together even though, like, there's money on the line, all this stuff, like, talk mad. Wait, am I allowed to cuss?
Feel free. Let it rip.
Okay. All right, sorry. I talked mad shit on them. And I, in October or September of last year, I broke up with my boyfriend of 3.5 years. And I got a new job, like, kind of was just starting over with my life. And one day I was a receptionist at a salon. One day my roommate sent me the application for Are You the One season 2, and I was bored at work. I was like, sure, I'll just fill it out, whatever. Filled out the main application, and the next day I ended up getting a call for more pictures, sent in more pictures, and I don't know, I guess they just kept calling me back, and the next thing I know, I'm getting the call saying I'm going to Puerto Rico. So that was that.
Now, so this was probably, I guess, the first show you ever auditioned for, because Samantha Taylor was noticed that Ryan from last year was apparently a finalist for last season's Real World. So this was the first time you ever auditioned for an MTV show?
Yeah, this was the first time I ever auditioned for any reality show, for that fact, for that matter, a fact.
Now, one of the bigger questions that everyone has is about this supposed scientific matchmaking process. So what exactly did they ask you, your friends, your exes, your parents? What did they try to find out about you?
Okay, so when everyone's saying that this is, like, a really crazy process, that's one thing that they're not lying about. This was a crazy, intense, I mean, went through more than, like, 5,000 questions altogether, half of those being, like, short answer questions, and the other half being, you had to bubble in a lot of questions. And, I mean, one of the things, I think it was, like, a personality test, I want to say, and Jess, how many questions do you think, like, that bubbling thing was? 500. Okay, so we did this bubble one. It was 500 questions and, or two 500 question ones. And it was so long that they would double up the questions. Like, I specifically remember there was a question that said, do you like rats? And I kept seeing that question come up throughout the whole questionnaire. And then I finally asked, I was like, why do you keep asking me if I like rats? And they're like, oh, well, since the thing is so long, we want to make sure that, like, your answer to that question is the same after 50 other questions so that you're not, like, bullshitting us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So they did that. We had to go through a therapist to make sure we weren't psycho, even though we're all pretty much really psycho.
So you all passed the therapy test. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how, but anyways, we went through a matchmaker who was actually extremely intimidating. It was this, like, little blonde girl but she was like so intimidating. I didn't even like talking to her because I felt like she was looking into my soul. And yeah, so that was, they really put a lot of effort into finding whoever your perfect match was.
Now, we threw you a lot of shade in our preseason podcast, just going off of the bios, and we have to get to the bottom of this. Where do they come up with the stuff for the MTV bios, and how did you feel about how you were portrayed?
Okay, so yeah, trust me, I saw or I heard what you guys said about me, especially me and Jasmine. I know this is a little bit off topic when you guys were like, oh, Brianna and Jasmine have each other in the phone as Brianna AYTO. And I'm just like, well, fuck, like, why can't I have her as Jasmine AYTO on my phone? But that's besides the point. Anyways.
We have very little to go off of during those shows.
Yeah, we were very much extrapolating on nothing.
Well, and not to mention, the cast picture they took of me was just, like, the most wretched picture of my entire life. But that's besides the fact. What was the question?
So your bio, like the actual bio.
Oh,
and
my
the
bio.
Across the board were pretty rough, but the bio itself.
Yeah. So one of the questions, we did a bunch of short answer ones, and they basically took stuff out of the short answer, and then the last interview that we do as a finalist, you go in front of a panel of like 12 producers, and they basically cover all of that and like ask you if that's the truth. But in those bios, they make you seem crazy. Like, they make everyone seem really extreme. And I mean, that is one of my timeline. I did have a timeline saying, like, no, I would love to, like, be married by, or be engaged by 24, married at 25, get pregnant on the honeymoon. Like, that's my ideal, because my mom had me when she was 25, and I really love that she can, like, you know, still do things with me. She was a younger mom, and we have a really great relationship, and I just want to have a really great relationship with my kids. So that's where the whole like 25-year-old thing comes from. But I mean, what everyone knows is that I'm not just, when I'm 24, it's not like I'm going to, if I don't find somebody, I'm not just going to go to a sperm bank and be like, hey, let me get some sperm so I can pop out some kids when I'm 25. No, I'm waiting for the right person. And if that right person doesn't come until I'm 35, then so be it.
Gotcha. Right. So going back to season one for a bit, I know you mentioned Shanley, but who else were some of your favorites and people that you didn't like?
Okay. It's hard now because when I was watching it, it's so different than now because I know a lot of them now, or some of them now, and my opinion has changed. But back then, I would say my favorite was probably Paige. And that has changed a lot since after, like, seeing the reunion and stuff coming out of, or stuff, information coming out at the reunion of season one. And my least favorite was probably Shanley.
Wow.
And for guys, my favorite was probably Wes, and my least favorite was probably JJ.
That's interesting, because you could arguably be most compared to Shanley, and Shelby could probably be compared to Paige.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing now. Me and Shanley are really great friends now, and like I said, I've told her, like, I talk shit on you, whatever, but it's different once you're in the position. It's very different. But yeah, I mean, I love Shanley now. We get along so great. And just the stuff I've heard about Paige, I am not like super fond of. But again, I have never met her before or had a conversation with her. I can only go off of like what I've heard. And I mean, I did the aftermatch with JJ, and he's so rad. Like, the coolest person ever, really down to earth, very like in touch with himself. And it was just kind of refreshing to talk to somebody who like really enjoys life. And I mean, I still like Wes, though. Wes is awesome, too. Wes is a great person as well.
Right. And now, given that this is season two, and obviously a lot of people are going to try to compare season two to season one, but while you were there, did you think that anyone was trying to go out of their way to kind of be the Shanley of this season or be the Scally of this season?
No, not at all. I think, like you said, I think it's inevitable for people that are diehard fans of season one to compare us to them. But none of us went in thinking to ourselves like, oh, we're going to be the next Shanley and Christy or the next Paige or the next JJ. Like, we're all so different than season one. And I feel like, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, this person from season two and this person from season one have similar qualities. And I feel like I can have similar qualities with, like, the hobo on the street. So I feel like that's super irrelevant to be like, hey, oh, this person has similar qualities than this person. Well, and really, all of us human beings on this planet could have similar qualities. So, I don't know. I get really feisty about that. Sorry.
So if people weren't necessarily like modeling themselves after people on season one, did you notice anyone? We talk a lot about speculation, people jockeying to be on the challenge from Are You the One? Did you feel like anyone's motivation was to continue in the MTV family of shows?
That's a tough question. I feel like I can't speak for a lot of people besides myself initially when we first went there. When I first got the show, I wasn't thinking to myself like, oh, I could be on this show after this or do this after this. But I think all of us, in a sense, like halfway through, are kind of thinking to yourself like, okay, well, this show is going to air and it's season two. So, you know, it must not be a terrible show. Maybe something can come from it. But I don't think like anybody's initial intentions were to like be on another reality TV show. Besides, I mean, Shelby wants to be an actress and wants to be a model, but that's something that she's always wanted to do. I don't think she went on a reality show to be like, oh, well, let me try and be an actress after this. I think that's just something she's always wanted to do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So getting into more of this season, can you shed some light on like the actual timeline of the show? Like how much time do you guys have between matchup ceremonies?
I don't know if I can like say this. Hold on.
Isn't it before one of the days with like the cycles from the start of the challenge to matchup ceremony? Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to be very general with it. It's
fair enough.
It's 10 weeks and we're there for, okay. It's 10 weeks. We're there for like almost 2 months.
Okay.
Fair enough. If we ask you anything that you don't want to answer, you could definitely pass. Feel free.
Okay.
We're not trying to get you in trouble.
Sounds good. I don't want to get a call from MTV in the morning.
MTV is not listening to us, don't worry.
But just in terms of like what the average week looks like, not necessarily timeline, like do you have a lot of downtime? Let's say where you're, I mean, a lot of people on reality shows complain about like being super bored.
I would say that I wouldn't say downtime. I would say a lot of waiting time. A lot of waiting. You wait for a lot of things a lot of times. Like you get free time to like do stuff and like drink and go to the pool and just, you know, whatever. But there's a lot of times where you're just like waiting for a challenge to be set up or waiting for like your turn to interview or something like that.
Gotcha. Now, I know, I think it was on the aftermatch or maybe during some type of interview where you said you and Chris both said that you weren't initially drawn. You and Curtis, rather, weren't initially drawn to each other. Christina Romero wants to know, who were you initially attracted to?
Oh, God, I was initially attracted to Tyler Pratt. I was initially attracted to him. I know. I'm just knowing what I know now. I mean, I think Tyler is a great person, you know, something like that, but just not my cup of tea at all. But I think he's a lot of people's cup of tea. Just, I mean, initially he was totally my cup of tea, but yeah, not so much anymore. But it was definitely Tyler.
So when did it change for you, then you started to become attracted to Curtis, not Chris?
Okay, so I don't even know if Tyler remembers this, honestly. I think this was the first night. Tyler was really drunk, and he ended up, like, taking me aside. Obviously, they didn't show this. He ended up taking me aside, and he was talking to me about, you know, like, his life and his past and stuff like that. And I remember thinking to myself that this is not, like, what I want. Like, I don't want somebody to, like, spill their heart and their life and their soul out to me when they're hammered. Because I just feel like in the morning, they're going to be like, what did I say to you? And it's not going to be like, you know, I actually want to tell you this. It's like, oh, my drunk self wants to tell you this. So that's when I was like turned off by Pratt. And I think right after that, I had gone to the patio outside and was sitting by myself, just kind of honestly missing my friends and my family. And I know it was only the first day, but Curtis saw me and came out and was just like, hey, what's going on? And that's the scene you see in the first episode when we're kind of talking about that we want significant others that aren't waiting at home for us. That's when we started talking, and that conversation, they show like 2 minutes of it. That was like a 2 hour long conversation that we literally talked about everything. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, like this kid has a great head on his shoulders. He thinks a lot of things through. And I was just really attracted to the person he was, not necessarily like, I mean, I think he's very good looking, but I was more attracted to what he had to say than what was in front of me.
Gotcha.
So just shifting focus a little bit to the more strategic elements of the show. The big thing this season, obviously, that was different from season one was the 11th girl, Christina. Mm-hmm. So when did you first find out about this twist, and what was your first reaction? Was it how we saw on the show?
No, I mean, not really. The girls got to the house first, and then the guys showed up, and we were in the house for a good, like, 2 hours, just drinking, having a good time, getting to know each other without Christina there. And then, they got all of us outside and to do the introduction. To film the introduction, and so we're all standing there, and I mean, all of a sudden Ryan says that, you know, one of the guys has two perfect matches, and Christina comes out, and I just remember all of us girls, look, we're looking at each other because we had already got to bond by ourselves without the guys in the house, and then bond with all the guys in the house. We were just like, oh shit. Now, it's just MTV throwing a wrench in the game, because now to the girls, not only do we have to find who our perfect match is, one of us shares a match, and now it's like competing against somebody. When all of us went there thinking that we all had somebody for someone.
And then you seem to be like a very strategic thinker in the house. Did you have a strategy coming into the house? And if so, how much did the 11th girl affect or change that strategy?
Well, initially I didn't have a strategy. I was just trying to get to know people, and I felt like it was too early to start thinking about strategy, just because we didn't have any perfect matches or anything like that. And me being the selfish bitch I was then, I was kind of trying to rally people into not putting her into the truth booth so that hopefully one of us could go and be a perfect match and she would go home. But then I feel like maybe a couple days later, I was thinking about it and thought that for the game, that's not a good strategy, because she's the biggest piece in this game right now. So if there ever was a chance to put her in, we need to put her in just in case, because she's the only person that we know has a double match. So if we put her in, there's more likely a chance that she's going to come out as a perfect match and be the double match with somebody than somebody that's one of us in the house that we don't know who the match is and who the double match is. Does that make sense?
No, definitely. And like, more on the strategy, it seems like at least for the past few weeks, Ryan mainly has been stressing the point of, you know, you gotta stop using strategy and follow your heart. But from what they've shown, we've seen very, very little strategy. So what have been some of the instances where people have really gone with strategy over people that they just like? Because that's basically more of what we've seen.
Right. So I'm not going to lie. Our season, they don't show a ton of strategy, but obviously, like you're saying, Ryan's saying that we're doing a lot of strategy because we were. I would say the main people that were doing strategy were me and Layton. After every matchup, and they don't give us pen and paper, so all the people that think that we're absolutely retarded for not, you know, figuring it out right away, it's hard to, like, get 21 people in your mind and figure out, you know, who was with who at each matchup ceremony and, like, trying to switch matches around. So actually what I would do after every matchup, I would eat, and then I'd go upstairs and I'd find hairspray bottles, clips. I think I used a chapstick cap one time for Brandon because he's a pea brain. And every single time I named everybody, all of the hair products or whatever, sunglasses, whatever, I would name each person. And so I'd tear them up in these little, like, all over the floor. And I'd sit there with Layton or whoever wanted to listen to my strategies, and I'd switch people around and be like, okay, this could be it, or this could be it, or this person would be the double match. And I actually got in trouble for being so strategic because they were saying, like, you know, this isn't a game of strategy, it's a game of love. But it's like, how can you not be strategic when there's money on the line?
Right.
You know, like, why would I not sit here and try and figure it out?
When you say in trouble, do you mean by, like, producers or by your castmates?
By the MTV.
So it was really just you and late, like, Brandon with his, all of his, like, 50 degrees, no one else was trying to step in? Like, or were they scared because you almost got in trouble that they wanted to back off? Or were they legitimately just saying, no, this is not the way to figure this out?
Are you talking about, like, me doing strategy?
Yeah.
I feel like, well, Brandon is going to talk regardless. Like, they don't show enough of Brandon sitting there and, like, opening his big freaking mouth. Like, they don't show enough of it. They, like, that one, this past episode when we were talking about his 2 degrees, he would always say stuff like that, where finally they showed me saying, like, why are you keep talking about yourself like you're some kind of god or something. You're not, none of us are. Shut up. We don't know what we're doing. But I mean, when it comes to everybody else in the house and strategy, I feel like Pratt and Terrace, obviously you saw Terrace after they became a third match say, follow your heart.
Well, open your hearts.
Like, yeah, open your hearts, follow your hearts, whatever. And at that point, it's like, look, a lot of us have tried to follow our hearts and it's clearly not working. So we're going to try and do strategy. But then it was honestly like every other week we were doing strategy and then we do follow your heart because that's not working. And then strategy is not working. No, go back to following your heart. Mm-hmm. So it was, I mean, honestly, I'm surprised none of us like blew our brains out because it was insane. So, I mean, there was a lot of people in the house that were for the strategy, but I think they were just for it because they wanted to get somewhere so bad because we were sucking so bad.
Now, one of the instances where I've always pushed that there could be a lot of strategy, but I never see it, is just in, like, the competition. So do you guys ever discuss or be like, all right, these two or three couples are our strongest, let's make sure they're eligible for the truth booth, or is everyone just forgetting that and just playing to win?
No, I would say, like, half of the house would be like, okay, let's throw the competition for these two people to win so that we can send them to the truth booth. But then half of the other half of the cast would be like, no, fuck that. I want to go on a date. So it was really hard with all the strong personalities in the house to be on one page. So half of the time, any of the decisions were split right down the middle. So that's why I don't think any of our competitions we got to rig anything, because not everybody was ever on board.
So we got,
unfortunately.
Right.
So we got a ton of questions, obviously, about the heartbreaking story that was you and Curtis on the show. Mm-hmm. And we know now from the aftermatch that you and Curtis are not together. But we got a lot of questions about, do you and Curtis still keep in touch? So Annalisa Ma asked, are you still trying to make things work with Curtis, or do you just remain friends? What's your current relationship like with Curtis?
What I can't say is why we're not together right now. That will be aired on the reunion. But I can say right now, at this specific point in time, we don't talk super often. I don't think either of us go out of our way to like hang out or anything, because he lives 25 minutes away from me. We're just not anything at the moment.
So why were you the only one at the aftermatch to be asked if you were still together with the person you were interested in?
You know, I was really surprised that they even were going to ask me if me and Curtis were still together. And I was even more surprised that they said that I could say no. And I mean, I honestly could have said, oh yeah, we're still together, but I'm just not the type of person to sit here and want to lie about my life. Right. So that's why I decided to tell everybody no. And I know it, you know, hurt a lot of people, because I get a lot of tweets all the time saying that it's no fun watching Are You the One, knowing that me and him aren't together anymore. But, I mean, they gave me the go, they gave me the okay, and I asked them why, and they said that, you know, well, you guys weren't a perfect match anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And I was like, okay, well, sounds good.
Well, I disagree a little bit with people saying it's not as fun to watch, because I can't wait to see, like, why you guys aren't a perfect match. Like, the more you explode rainbows on the show, I want to know why this didn't work out.
Then this morning's wrap up, when you guys were like, I can't wait for the reunion to talk to me, Shelby, and Curtis, let me tell you, I can't wait either.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am just as lost as all you guys are, because I have no idea what's going on.
Looking forward to it, definitely. So Lindsay Turk wants to know, did you and Curtis find out why you guys aren't a match, or were you very, very confused when you weren't?
No, we never found out why we weren't. We were just confused the whole entire time. Cause we had so much in common and our minds were in the same spot and stuff like that, that, I mean, even now, even though we aren't together, I still wonder why we weren't a perfect match, because it's just weird. It's weird.
And then, so Curtis said on Twitter, he kind of credited you for figuring out that him and Shelby were a match and that there was more basis behind that than we saw. And I'm wondering if you kind of touched on this, that you're confused, so maybe not, but was there bad blood between you and Shelby when you found out he was a match, or were you happy to be one step closer to the money?
I wouldn't say that there was bad blood, but the scene where Layton is about to get into Anthony's space, I quickly say, we're all here because we have issues. I can't deal with my emotions. And that's where that comes into play. I am really bad at talking to people when I feel awkward, or I feel like I betrayed them, or like I just don't know what to say to somebody in a certain situation. So I actually, and me and Shelby were really great friends before I found out, or I realized kind of that they were a match. Once it became a match, it was really hard for me to see her cry, like, because I knew it was because of me. I knew part of it was because of me, and I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know how to say sorry. I didn't know how to say, like, I'm sorry for putting you in this situation. I didn't mean to put you in this situation. So I took the route, and I know this isn't good, but I took the route to not talk to her, like, at all. Mm-hmm. So whenever I showed up at matchups, I just, like, would try not to make eye contact with her or say anything to her because I didn't know what to say. And I realize now, like, you know, I should have just went up to her and been like, I'm sorry or something. But, so I wouldn't say there was bad blood because we definitely talked about it at some point, and I told her basically everything I just said. And she understood because she said, like, you know, she didn't know what to say to me either because she's basically, you know, being in a honeymoon suite with someone I wanted to be with. But we're definitely super cool now. It was just then, I don't know how to deal with the awkwardness.
So I think that's all the questions, mainly all the questions we have. So we got a bunch of listener questions that they really want to know. And the first one is from Anna Jose, and she wants to know, there are a bunch of people who aren't getting that much screen time on the show with both Alex's, Garland, and Tyler. So are they doing anything that should be being shown and they're just not?
Well, okay. Girl Alex, I think she thought that she was on The Real World and just wanted to party all day every day, which is, like, cool, whatever, you want to party, but, like, try and make connections with people, too. So that's why she's not getting any airtime, or because you're not seeing her other than her saying that she's had a few big things in her mouth, which is, like, unreal that I can't believe that she would say something like that. But anyways, that's why she's not getting airtime, because she literally just drank the whole entire time, which we all did, but we all also, like, were either trying to get to know somebody or hooking up with somebody or something. She wasn't trying at all. She didn't want to try, I felt like, so that's why you don't see her. But I'm kind of confused on Garland, because I feel like he made an attempt to, like, talk and get to know a lot of the girls. So I'm not really sure why he doesn't get a ton of airtime. I can't really answer that question. And then you said Tyler Abron?
Yeah, Guise. Did you all know about Guise before before I brought it up?
No, none of us knew about Guise. We learned about it, actually when you brought it up. We were all like, what the hell is Guise? So we all looked it up. And man, I have no words for Guise. All I have to say about it is whenever I have a sad day, I just go on Guise's website and I remember that everything's great again.
Can't go on Sundays. It's closed on Sundays.
That's right. So, Tyler, I feel like, and I think, I mean, I don't think I'm the only one that feels this way either. I feel like she really, I mean, would try sometimes to make connections, but then other times she wouldn't. And other times she would just get so hammered, she would black out, which, you know, we've all had those days before. But I just feel like she gave up at some point. She just kind of, I mean, you guys see that she just, at every challenge, she just steps off to the side. And I just feel like she didn't make an effort even before the challenges to be like, hey, you want to be matched up? Or, hey, I think I should try and go on a date or something. I think you'll see in the next few episodes that, you know, maybe she might step her game up a little bit, but at the same time, her track record isn't so great.
Fair enough. I don't know if I'm looking forward to seeing more of Guise or not, but I will definitely be tuning in. So Emmanuel Bernard wants to know, are there any people who you didn't get along with in the house? And he speculates that he says, I know one of them is Paris. And then Samantha Taylor also wants to know, which one of the girls did you dislike?
Okay, so I didn't dislike... Okay, no. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie here. Okay, when I met Paris, I think it was the first day, like within the first couple of hours, we looked at each other and we said, we could either be really great friends or we could hate each other and, like, bump heads. And it kind of, and I think everybody on the cast knows this, that we never were super good friends. We never like connected really well. There was always like some kind of tension. But I think a lot of that stems from the first week when her and Pratt decided to lie to the whole entire house. And I'm one of the people that like holds grudges, especially when I'm on a show to win. I just can't get over the fact that somebody would try and, you know, be in my way to win when it's like we either win as a team or we lose as a team. It's not like one of us wins and one of us loses. So I think that stems from a lot of the tension between me and Paris. As far as like the Twitter battle goes between us, I tweeted something about the honeymooners saying like, you know, oh, it's, they're messing with our money. And it's like, you know, that it's not just your money, guys, it's our money too. And I understand, you know, Paris is like, oh, well, I can have a concern about my money. But at the same time, Paris, you're not in the house, so you don't know the drama that's happening. You don't know what's going on. You don't know who's making connections and who is not. So just ride it out in your sweet little honeymoon and drink your alcohol, go in the pool, have a great dandy time while I'm over here trying to, like, we're all over here trying to figure out who our matches are and being in a really stressful environment. So I would just say like the person I didn't get along with the most was Eric for sure. And I'm not really sure what's going to happen at the reunion. I'm hoping that she doesn't come at me at the reunion, but if she does, I'm ready for it.
And then just a quick question, because, yeah, we covered your Twitter beef with Paris that night. What's frustrating for me was that Paris didn't have an answer for how can you complain about them rigging, like, how can you complain about them toying with your money when you sabotaged them episode one? So did they ever answer for that, Paris or Pratt, to you after the show?
No, not really. I mean, the only time they really addressed it, or that any times it was brought up and they addressed it, all they would say is, I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry. And Paris probably was in the background like, open your heart still, guys. Open them. And we're all just in the background like, what are you even saying anymore? Who are you? Like, be quiet. We're trying to figure it out. And it's opening our hearts is clearly not working. So, I mean, all they really had to say was sorry. They didn't give us a rhyme or reason. And not to mention Pratt's Helen Keller comment the first episode. But none of us knew about that. When I saw that, I was just like, bro. Like, how are you going to call Helen Keller? You barely even know us. It's been like a day.
So Nick Fishman has an interesting question. He wants to know, if you can go back and warn your past self about your time in the house, what would it be?
God, there's a lot of things that I would have warned myself. I mean, am I answering this as like me right now?
If you can time travel to the start of your time in RE The One, what would you kind of warn yourself about?
I would just say, don't get invested into one person so quickly. For sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that definitely stems from me and Curtis obviously not being together right now. I think if I would have known then that me and Curtis aren't together now, I would have done a lot of things differently. I would have been 100% open to being or to making romantic connections with other people. I think it's a great thing about me that when I am with somebody, like, I'm not going to do anything to sabotage my relationship with you. But I mean, I didn't know then that me and Curtis weren't going to be together now. So I think that was just the one thing that I would have told myself, was to not, you know, jump into something so quickly and be so invested.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were able to figure out Curtis's backup option with Shelby. Now, obviously, I'm sure during that time you were thinking about your own personal backup option. So it seemed like the person you next jumped to was Dario. So was he your backup option if you and Curtis weren't a match?
I guess you call him a backup option. Sorry, Dario. I was initially attracted to Pratt, But my type of guy is somebody that is like Mexican or Dominican or, you know, tan skin, dark hair, dark eyes. I really like that. And that's what Dario is. And when I got to know Dario better, he's also a really great person. So, Dario's freaking hot. So, yeah, he's definitely my backup option, and he's great. So, yeah, if it wasn't Curtis, I probably would have gone for Dario or Anthony.
So, you may not have, you know, found necessarily a perfect match in Curtis, but it seems like you found some female perfect matches that you've dubbed the Goon Squad. I don't know. Is Jess in the background there? Is that who you were asking?
Yeah, Jess is here on the couch right now. She's trying to put in her own little, like, 2 cents, and I keep, like, just telling her to stop because I can't concentrate when she's over here. She's on my couch right now.
We got a couple of questions asking, like, Christina Romero asked if the Goon Squad can please start their own TV show, and Danny Castellan asked, is there a real possibility that the Goon Squad will get their own show? And then he says, love you, Brianna. Or she.
Love you, man. I love you, man. It's a possibility. It's not, you know, it's not a huge possibility, just because I've heard, unfortunately, that the ratings haven't been so great for our season, which sucks. But if the ratings would have been a lot better, there could have been more of an opportunity. If we don't get our own show after, me and Jess are definitely making a YouTube channel, because Jess is moving down here in 2 weeks with me, and so is Christina. So we're definitely going to, you know, be on YouTube, if anything.
I know a lot of people will definitely be looking forward to that. So Danny had a follow-up question. Did you ever expect to come out of the show from MTV and have so many fans? Is that weird for you?
Oh my God. It's so weird because I mean, honestly, like when they asked me on the after match, if I've changed, and I said, the only thing that's changed on me is that, you know, people care about what I tweet or that I'm getting followers and stuff like that. That's the only thing that's changed about me. Nothing else has changed. I still go to school looking like a hot mess. I still go to the grocery store looking like a hot mess. I went and picked up hookah stuff and Eeyore pajamas like 30 minutes ago with Jess. So it's not like, it's so weird when people tweet me. And the weirdest thing I've gotten is like, can you be my mom? And I'm like, whoa, this is getting out of control. I don't know if you want to be your mom, because if you do, all I'm feeding you is Jack in the Box. Like, that's it. I hope you know. So, I didn't expect to get a lot of followers. I really went on the show just for the experience. It's like a free, really stressful vacation. But if anything, it definitely was a vacation. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It freaks me out.
Now, our lone Twitter question, so we have to give this person a special shout-out. Happy You, Happy Me, very cheerful name. Now that you've gone through a scientific matchmaking process, what is your new approach to finding the one, and has it changed?
You know, honestly, I was just talking to my really good friends about this last night. Because when you go on Are You the One, I know a lot of us were really looking forward to figuring out who our perfect matches was, because we all wanted to fall in love. Like, we wanted to find somebody that was perfect for us. And, you know, coming out of it, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird when you, you know, figure some stuff out. But I would say now, fuck science. Fuck that shit. I just...
Stay in school though, kids.
Like, figure out who you can talk to. Figure out who, like, has a... Like, you can sit for hours and talk about, like, soda or popcorn or something. Like, something stupid that you guys can just talk about forever. Like, I just want to find somebody that gets the person that I am and like understands the person that I am, we don't have to agree on everything, or we don't have to be perfect on every single level. I don't want you to agree with me on everything. So what I do now is just like, you know, fuck all this. You like rats, or what's your favorite color, or, you know, where do you work? Oh, there, that's cool. Fuck all that shit. Do you like riding bikes on the beach, on the boardwalk? Do you like roller coasters? Let's go fucking explore shit. That's what I'm looking for. So if anything I brought back from Ari the One, it's, you know what? Fucking fuck all the like analytical bullshit. Just go with how you want or how you feel in somebody.
Well, Keenan Hayes wants to know if you're ever in Arizona or he's in San Diego, can he take you out to dinner? So maybe he's that guy for you.
Hey, maybe we could sit here and talk about popcorn or avocados, because I really love avocados.
So we're going to start to wrap up. We just have a couple more questions. This has been awesome. Thanks so much for wrapping this up with us. What's one thing that we didn't get to see that you really wish they would have shown? Or like, what's one hookup that we'd be most surprised to hear about that we didn't see on TV?
I would say, God, there were so many things that I wish they aired, because they only show us, obviously that's the show is to find connections and stuff like that. We did the craziest stuff. Like, we did crazy shit all the time, and it was funny. It's hilarious. And they don't show any of it. And I would say, like, something that I wish they showed is that me, Jess, and Ellie would shower together all the time, and we'd have the most ridiculous conversations, and there'd be a camera guy right there, like, recording us. And I mean, there were conversations about licking buttholes, and I wish that would have aired.
I think we just found our hashtag for the interview.
Yeah, I wish that would have aired, because that was a great conversation, and specifically, it had to do with Jessica. So,
of course, it did. So my last question is this. Now, I view The Real World and now Are You the One as a feeder system into The Challenge, which is my true love. So would you do The Challenge if you were asked?
Yeah, I'd fucking do The Challenge.
Do you think would you do it well?
I don't know if I'd do well, but I definitely do something. I mean, I don't really think you can use strategy in that game. I think it's all really like endurance and shit. I'd probably get my ass kicked in a one-on-one challenge, but I'd just do it just to say that I fucking did it. But don't get me wrong. I'm super competitive, and I won't give up without a fight, even if I break my nose again. But I'll fucking do my best on the challenge if I get offered to go. That would be awesome. I think I would make some more bad decisions. So I'm down to make some more bad decisions.
That's what MTV is here for. So listen, we're really glad that we finally got to do this. So thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. I had a great time. I've been sipping on my vodka cranberry grapefruit juice, and I'm feeling pretty good right about now.
Perfect. Where can, I'm sure everyone who's listened to this already knows, but where can everyone find you on all your social media outlets?
Okay, my Twitter is BLaQuesta, so it's the first initial of my first name, guys, and my last name, LaQuesta. Everybody thinks it's LaQuesta. It's not. So just to get that story straight, and then my Instagram is MTV_Brianna, and that's about it. That's all I have.
Perfect. And of course, you can follow me if you want to at Bus Drivers Are Out. And Allie, where can they find you?
You can follow me at Lash Tweets.
This is how we pay the bills. So if you're enjoying this, please check back our weekly wrap ups of every episode of Are You the One. You can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. So please go ahead and do that. But once again, Bree, thank you so much for coming on, and looking forward to seeing the reunion and the rest of the season.
Oh, hail thee. It's going to be a wild ride at the reunion.
Cannot wait. Thanks so much.